Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning and want to welcome everyone here. Happy to have everyone with us this morning. I've enjoyed the service so far as well, the devotions on being content. It's a subject, a favorite subject of mine. I enjoyed the Sunday school very much as well. This morning, the message I want to speak about is pure in heart. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I look at that verse, and at first you wonder, what does that really mean? Can maybe be a little bit misleading just reading it straight from the King James Version, not understanding where Jesus is, what he was really teaching there. Maybe I'll just read, and if you look in the internet, it's called gotquestions.org. They gave a little meaning for pure in heart, and I like it. It says it in a very practical way. It says, being pure of heart involves having a singleness of heart toward God. A pure heart has no hypocrisy, no guile, no hidden motives. The pure in heart is marked by transparency and an uncompromising desire to please God in all things. It is more than an external purity of behavior. It is an internal purity of the soul. And those are a lot of words there, but it still says what pure of heart is in a very practical way. And then in some of the other Beatitudes, the one that I'm thinking, I'm not sure if it's the second Beatitude, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this one, "Blessed are the pure in heart," almost can be in connection with this one, in that the results of a pure heart, or the reason you get a pure heart is because you have a contrite heart. You've mourned properly for your sins. You've been repentant of your sins. And so that is a result of repenting of a contrite heart. A pure heart is a result of having a contrite heart. It's a contrite heart, a heart that is very sincere, very honest. There's no hypocrisy. There's no misguided things coming from this heart that's pure. And so as we just want to give that as a little bit of a thing to start, to let you know where I'm trying to go with this message. As we approach having an ordination in our church, it's hard not to include some encouragement toward this issue, regardless, you know, what subject that we decide to preach about, where we feel God is leading us. However, I didn't choose this subject because of our ordination. This subject came before I was thinking about ordination, but since it's so close, I cannot ignore how it relates to encouraging us about our ordination. You know, we want our new minister to have a pure heart, even though we also need to realize that each of us struggle having a pure heart, especially as much as we should. We should remember that for God to bless our church in choosing a minister, we need to remember that we need to focus individually or focus inward on our personal heart first, making our heart pure first. You know, it's going to be better for us in choosing a minister. We'll be able to choose better, and I want to say this further on down. It'll be easier for us to choose better, and we'll have more discernment on how to choose better if we at first try to figure out or try to make sure our heart is pure, rather than trying to figure out who among us has the purest heart. It's impossible for any of us to understand who has a pure heart or who has the purest heart. We can't understand that about each other. And so we have that issue. And remember what God told Samuel when he went to anoint one of Jesse's sons? He said, Jesse brought out his best son. What Jesse thought was his best son, he brought out. And Samuel looked at him and he said, within his heart, Samuel said, surely this has got to be the one. This is the one God wants. This guy, he has everything. He's the right one. And but God reminded Samuel right there, said, I don't look at the external. I look at inside, and you can't see that. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he really was saying. So it's very important for us to focus on having a pure heart ourselves, because the purer our heart is, the more we can be sure that God will give us wisdom about who we should nominate. As I was thinking of having a pure heart, I think the more I understand how each of us is, I think it's really important that each of us do have a pure heart for us to be able to honestly hear what God is, how God is leading us that way. But again, that was not the reason I chose this subject. As I was studying, I thought I should not ignore this point. The reason I come up with this subject in the first place, a couple weeks ago, it's getting longer than that now, Judy and I were in the southeast coast of United States traveling and exploring, and we saw a lot of history. We saw, you know, we saw a couple old forts, and we saw a lot of old buildings, majestical buildings, and a really amazing amount of things that we saw there. We saw leaders that, in general, generals in war that changed a lot of things. They made decisions, and even saw one thing that stood out to me, how this rich, very rich guy built this very, very, very nice building. Extraordinary building. And so the next rich guy came along and built a better one just despite that one. You know, you see a lot of that kind of stuff, bigger and better. We also toured the Wax Museum in St. Augustine. Some of you have probably been there too. I don't know. But as you meet all these famous people, and they seem so real, you know their souls aren't there, but they make those people seem so real, like they're there with you. And maybe you have experienced that too. But as we went through that museum, I kept thinking about these people and what I read about these certain people that we see and how they were. And you know, it just sort of brings something into your heart that makes you go back. And I can't explain the feeling, but it really touches me. And as I looked at all these people and had so much influence and done so many good things, it was impressive. I was impressed. Yet, when you look at their real lives, you recognize that there's a lot missing in their lives. A lot of those people didn't have much to do with being Christ-like. I'm not saying all of them were that way, but you had to remember that because you studied somewhere, you heard of their history. And so, as I was having my devotions the next morning, I was reading the Beatitudes, and I came across this verse, and it just stuck out to me that, you know, that's really missing. The pure in heart is really missing in our world. And sad enough to say, I think it's missing among us as Christians too much, too. I think that we as Christians need to be more pure of heart. And that's why I come up with this message. I want to read again what gotquestions.org says about being pure of heart. It says, being pure of heart involves having a singleness of heart towards God. A pure heart has no hypocrisy, no guile, no hidden motives. The pure of heart is marked by transparency and an uncompromising desire to please God in all things. It is more than an external purity of behavior. It is an internal purity of soul. And Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't believe it's possible to have a pure heart without first giving your heart to Jesus. I think that's the first step of all of us. We all recognize that. We've been taught that. We know that. I also believe that there are also various levels of having a pure heart. Someone might have a more pure heart than the next person. And having a pure heart is connected to how surrendered our heart is to Jesus, to the Father's will. Surrender has something to do with it too. I believe the more committed a Christian is to please God in all that he does, he or she does, I believe the more commitment you have to please God in all that you do, I believe that is that's connected to how pure your heart is or how pure your heart isn't. So moving on now to the latter part of this verse, I want to talk about this too. It says they shall see God. What does that mean? The obvious meaning is that we will see God, but it almost would make you, it almost, by reading this verse, you almost think that if I have a pure heart, I'll see God, and, you know, I'll just see God. But that's not really what Jesus was saying, yet he is saying that. I don't think that God is invisible. I don't think we'll see him face to face. I don't think it's saying that. If we compare with all the scripture, I think Jesus is teaching that the blessing in having a pure heart is more about our perception of God and our discernment of who God is. And also, it makes God's ways more clear in our life. It makes what he wants from our life and what decisions we make about all of life more clear. I think that's what he means more, that we shall see God. And I'll read some verses that maybe will back this up. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I also know even as I am known. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, in you hath he quickened, or in you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So this portion of scripture is saying, when we left that old behind us, when we became a Christian, when we believed, and we have salvation in our lives, God made us alive. He showed us. He gave us something different, more about God. In Acts 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So I think this verse is saying that when we have a pure heart, when we give our life to Christ, when we go through those steps, our eyes are opened up. We see more about God than what we could see before. And so maybe that's what this verse is saying. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God will be more real to us. God will be more, he'll reveal himself more to us, the more pure our heart is. So these verses, you know, they back up the point that I'm trying to say, that we, when we give our heart to Jesus, and the more surrendered we are, the more committed we are to be surrendered to please God in all that we do, the more pure our heart will be. I would like to look at a little bit of the blessing of having a pure heart is actually having better godly discernment. And just to review a little bit, a pure heart has no hypocrisy, no guile, No hidden motives. So how does this relate to our daily lives? I'll talk about that a little bit. You know, it is only this message is not just good because we're having an ordination, in that we need to have a pure heart to be able to have an ordination, right? That's not the only reason we need a message like this. Although I think that it is a good reason for us to have a pure heart, especially in a time like this. I believe it's good for us to do that, but I don't think it's the only reason. I don't think it's the only reason that Jesus taught this. I think he taught it for much bigger reason. Even though I think he cares about our ordination, I think he cares very much about it, I don't think that he was thinking just of our ordination. As we go through our daily lives, I believe there are many ways in which, you know, there's very much blessing that can result in our lives from having a pure heart. And the one reason that a pure heart, I feel a big reason a pure heart is connected to our daily lives, is because it's connected to our motives. Why we do things? Why do we make those decisions? Why do we choose that? You know, the people around us can question our motives for the decisions that we make. They can see if we're biased about something, or they have trouble trusting our choices because maybe they don't have a pure heart, or maybe they don't, they're not judging us properly, or whatever. Reason is, we struggle with that among ourselves. Even though we don't know for sure if that person made the decision out of a pure heart or not. But our carnal side always will not trust people because of that. But God does know. He knows. And it's a matter of being blessed or not when we make decisions. God knows if we're making a decision out of an unpure heart, out of a heart that wants our own ambition, our own agendas, our own selfishness ahead of what he wants. He knows that. And regardless if you can figure it out about me or I can figure it out about you, because we can't. We try. We can't do it a lot of times. But God knows. And so we just want that to be overwhelming in our own lives. You know, these verses also say that we should make a decision out of a pure heart. And I already said this, but not so much about our preferences, not so much about our selfishness, but more about what's right from the biblical perspective. The biblical perspective over my own will. In our daily lives, we make choices about who we're going to hang out with. We need to choose from a pure heart, not according to what's cool or what's easiest. One way I see parents can be blinded about the true status of our children's hearts, because we care more about, I'm accusing us, but I'm not really wanting to accuse, I'm only wanting to bring a point. But it's easy for us as parents to care more about our children making us look good than we do about them or their hearts. And so we fall in a ditch of thinking they are better, or that they are better than they are, or we even fall into the opposite ditch where we think that they're worse than they are, and then we don't give them the right kind of encouragement. If we as parents look at our offspring from a pure heart, then I think we would be more willing to see more accurately the true status of our children's heart, and be more accurate with encouragement when they really need encouragement, and also be more accurate with rebuke when they need rebuke. It's very hard for us as parents to look at that correctly sometimes, but I think it's important that we have a pure heart as we teach our children. In our jobs, in our businesses, in our jobs, we struggle with wanting to make sure we get paid good enough, make sure that someone's paying us well, wanting to make ourselves look better than the next person. And I know in Christian, where I work, I'm blessed. But I have been in places where it wasn't as good. And I know if you go out into a, work for a business that is not Christian, doesn't care about being a Christian, that is very strong. The kingdom of this world, who can get to the top the fastest? And, the, and it's all about me. It's not about anybody else. I read a story recently about this. This applies more to a business side of it. But this auto car dealer, he sold cars. He had a big lot, and he couldn't help. He was a Christian man. He couldn't help himself to recognize that the poor people came in. The poorest people, the people that could not afford vehicles, were always willing to pay way more money than the people that could easily afford vehicles. And so he had a temptation, he had a very severe temptation, this was his testimony, to get more money when those poor people came in. He knew he could get more money out of them because they were going to borrow their money for their vehicle, and they were just going to, it was easy to do. And the rich people would come in there, and or the people that were more wealthy, and they would almost, for a slang term, nickel and dime them. That wasn't, but you know, in he respected them. He understood that. He didn't lose money in it. But all of a sudden, he recognized that he felt bad, and God convicted him of this was his testimony that he shouldn't be doing that. So he went to the method, like a little bit like you've heard maybe Dave Smith down here does. He went to a method somewhere between where he made a profit, and it didn't matter who walked in the door, that they got the same price. And his thing was because he was having a temptation to charge the poor more, and he felt like he wasn't being good with that. But I think a pure heart gives us discernment into those things in our business practices and in our work ethics. Approaching our jobs from a pure heart helps us to be more content, not so jealous about the fellow employee or who may be better than us. As it relates to our church life, you know, we struggle with trusting someone's motives. I think in church life we struggle with that a lot, of why they serve in certain positions or why they make the decisions that they do, or why a brother or sister pushes a certain agenda ahead of something else. We struggle with that. We struggle trusting other people's motives. Are they pushing their preferences? Even though we never know for sure, we become wary of our brothers and sisters. And so I'm back to this point. It's very important for us to have a pure heart, that we're making decisions on a pure heart more in our individual personal lives rather than looking all around to judge everybody else to see if they have a pure heart. We need to first work in our own life on those issues, because if we don't have a pure heart, we don't know where other people stand for sure. But most importantly, we need to serve God and do our Christian responsibilities from a pure heart. Otherwise, we won't be blessed in what we're doing. We won't have the vision that we need for that responsibility that we are given. I notice in committees, I've been in committees probably too much, but I have been in them, and I can see that committees struggle with being biased or caring about what and not caring about what is best for the whole thing. It's so easy in a committee to think about your personal things, and that doesn't work. And if you have a pure heart, you know that you're going to put whatever is best for the whole organization or the whole church ahead of what I feel or what I think. That doesn't mean what you think is wrong. It's just that we cannot be putting that stuff ahead. We need to look at the whole picture and everything out of a pure heart. There are many more ways in which we are faced with issues that, in fact, I had this message ready a week ago, but we didn't have church. And then all week, I kept seeing these things pop up in my head. And I'd see things, people doing things, and I wonder if that was done out of a pure heart. Or, you know, did I do that out of a pure heart? it kept coming up in my mind all the time since I studied this, of how important it is to have a pure heart in the things that we do. Because I think that we're automatically, in our carnal nature, we can do a lot of things without a pure heart easily, without even thinking of it. I know I can. But as I close this up, let's just review again what Jesus is teaching us. Yeah, I think Jesus is simply saying to us that if we want to better understand him, if we want to better understand his perspective in our lives, in our decisions that we are faced with, as we go through this journey of life, then we need to have a pure heart. I think that's what Jesus is telling us. Because, you know, Jesus always knows the true condition of our heart. He knows exactly what that is. So the more sincere we are with God about every area of our heart. See, Jesus knows right where our heart is. Let's say my heart is over here. And Jesus knows that it's right here. But let's say that I'm not quite there. I'm not wanting to tell Jesus every part of my heart. I only come this far to tell him about it. I won't come all the way over. What Jesus wants us to do, he wants us to be sincere and honest with him about our heart and where we are in our heart, how we feel about our heart, as close as we can get to him, totally surrendered, for us to have a pure heart. Because he already knows it. He knows if our heart isn't pure or not. He knows that we're cheating or that we're lying and not getting the whole picture to him. Even if he knows it, he still wants us to be honest and contrite with him about what's going on in our lives. And I'll say it again, that I think that if we want answers, if we want clarity in our lives, that the more pure our heart is, the more clarity that God will give us. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I think that's what God, they're saying, that you'll understand God better, and God will give you better discernment, and God will help you to make better decisions. And for back to the immediate need, in closing, about our ordination, I think that we want peace. We want God to give us peace on who we nominate and who he wants to be our new minister. And I think this would be a blessing in our soul for us to have our hearts pure. As it relates to the ordination, you know, I don't think that God is going to say, if you get your heart totally pure today, I don't think God is going to tell you, nominate this man. I don't think God will say that to you. But I think God will say to you, he'll give you a clear mind on the logical pros and cons of the people that you're thinking of. And that's what we want. We want God to help us, give us discernment of the things that we see, the pros and cons, because everything we see is not going to be perfect. So we want to know what's the best, not just what's okay. We want to know what's best as we nominate. That's what we're all wanting to know. And the only thing we have to go by is what we see. And we weigh those pros and cons and what we think God would want for our church in the long run. So 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, I read this already, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I also know even as I am also known." And I think that verse means more to me. I think that's more what it's saying, a little bit more what it's saying. It might be saying more, but that verse in Corinthians, I think, is bringing out the point that we shall see God. We'll see more. We'll understand God more. He'll be more in our lives, stronger. The blessing of having that verse just helps me to see that I believe that's one of the blessings of having a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So just leave that with you. I'll close with that. I'll leave it.